Hello and welcome to Taproom Talks. I'm Wim Benz, founder of Lakewood Brewing Company. And with me, as always, it's going to be a fun show. With me, as always, we got Craig and Zach, our creative team. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
And today we are talking.
We're talking.
And today we're talking with Chef Catherine Klapner, the co-founder, co-owner, and brains behind Dude Sweet Chocolate, one of DFW's leading chocolatiers, chocolate shops, sweet things, everything chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So today is our Valentine's episode. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. So we're going to talk about beer and chocolate. The two perfect things on Valentine's Day.
That's sexy. Cue the sexy music, Zach.
Cue the sexy, Zach.
All right, I'll put it in post.
And go. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, that sounds so good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounds so good.
You get all over me.
I just want chocolate and beer.
God, if you could just see it, though. Nah.
But he's just playing like...
Benny Hill, yes.
Benny Hill would be good.
Oh, that would be great.
I love Benny Hill.
All right. So, Catherine, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into chocolate, how long you've been a chef. Tell us about yourself.
Tell me. Okay. So, been a chef for about 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. I was a pastry chef before starting the company. So, I did that kind of all over the world and was out just kind of doing consulting. I was with Stephen Piles for about 10 years, mm-hmm. off and on. And I was out consulting, and my business partner and co-founder of Dude Sweet was actually working with Merrill Lynch at the time at Top Tier Investing. So what they had done was commission me to make Christmas presents. So what they do is they set a very strict monetary stipend,
sure.
on all of their associates as to what they can give, and they're always trying to find something different, you know, mm-hmm. something that they hadn't had. So they commissioned me to make chocolates, and it was supposed to be around 50 boxes, and it turned into around 250 boxes all made out of my house. It was pure chaos. And I just dug it. Chocolate had changed. Mm-hmm. The kinds I could get had drastically changed. And my tastes had changed from traveling, from working with different chefs. I looked at it a whole lot differently. Mm-hmm. And also because it was my choice. When you're a pastry chef, you make according to what the chef's vision is, sure. because you work for him. This was my time to make what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I did it. I came up with a name, went out and worked farmers markets, selling the stuff to see if anybody liked it.
Right.
Ran into my business partner again at Lee Harvey's, oddly enough, and I said, I want to do it. So we started the company. We started the company in December of 2009, which was a pretty bleak economic time, yeah. to say the least.
Yeah.
And we haven't stopped since. So I just make what I like.
Yeah.
You know, we have some things that you have to do, but the menu and the names, everything is all a part of me. It's what I see works with chocolate. So that's why I think the beer and chocolate piece works as well, because I don't really see chocolate, I guess, the way what would be a chocolatier, because I come from a pastry chef background, a mm-hmm. chef's background. So I right. look at stuff a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Great. That's awesome. Well, we like to do just, you know, we do what we want to do, too.
It's kind of nice, isn't
it's
it?
It's kind of nice.
The mm-hmm. headaches are different, but it's really
yeah,
nice.
The headaches
I don't want to do that today, so I'm just not gonna.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. But we do get to make the beer that we want.
You did say you're going to go home and you're going to go to the brewery and take a nap. So.
Yeah, probably after all the beer that we're going to taste yeah. this morning. Yeah,
so there absolutely. You go.
Yeah. So let's talk. Let's kind of get to the nitty gritty and
okay.
go from the basics. Okay.
Okay.
So what is chocolate? Like, how does it start?
For real?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So
let's get into the nitty gritty.
It's a bean that comes from a plant.
That is correct. It is a bean. Well, it's more of a pod.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the pods can be 4 to around 7 inches long, around 3 to 5 inches in diameter, kind of a big oblong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you slice down them from top to bottom, you open it up and it'll be this very viscous kind of white mucousy sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pods are inside there are the seeds. So from there, after they pick them, they will ferment them. So they'll go into vats, and this would be a concept that you guys would totally get.
Yeah, right?
You can actually make an alcohol out of it from that point as well. So they'll be, depending on who is making it, where it is grown, will dictate how the fermentation works at this point. So it'll get stirred over a few weeks. You walk in. I've been in them in Peru and the Dominican Republic. I'm hoping to go to Ecuador as well this year. But then it's almost looks like a hothouse. It's this wooden building, you know, and they're stirring it around. There's fruit flies everywhere. I mean, it's this noxious, alcoholic, wonderful thing existing. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they'll get dried. Okay. And the drying will depend on where it's located and also processes, whether they are very skilled, not skilled, what equipment they may or may not have, because chocolate is grown in pretty much the most impoverished parts of the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then it gets dried or roasted. So be air roasted, you know, air dried, sun. And then from there, it'll get that point. You people will say they're going from bean to bar. They would be taking those beans. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they would be basically emulsifying it. There, it gets goes into a centrifuge. It gets turns into a liquid form that will be its mass. That is like the cocoa nibs that you will use sometimes with your brew. But there's a better way to do that, by the way, guys.
Right.
I'm going to show you how to do that.
Okay, cool.
You can get a lot more chocolate power out of it and a better flavor because beans don't. So those are the nibs. And then they will emulsify it with sugars or vanillas and a lot of times with soy lecithin. And so you'll see a lot of stuff about soy. Mm-hmm. And chocolate, it's actually not the protein, it's the oil extracted from it. And it what it does is chocolate is a fat. Sugars, when they turn to liquid, they turn to a water, basically. So you're combining them. You're emulsifying them together.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would be like the Coverture or candy bar and things like that. So the cheaper the candy bar, the less cocoa butter, the less natural fat, the more lecithin.
Okay.
So when you're eating something, you know how like when you're eating a really crappy piece of chocolate, you want to eat it again and again and again because the flavor is going away. It's like be it margarine versus butter. It doesn't coat your mouth. So you're constantly kind of chasing the dragon to try to get the flavor.
Right.
So that's the main reason. It's they extend it. They're diluting it per se. And that's very short version of it, but that's basically what happens.
Okay.
How it goes from point A to point B.
So when you get it, what form is it in?
I get it after they have actually made it. So I purchase from actually really only three companies right now. One of the biggest things for us is the flavor and sustainability, where it's coming from, what is being done. You see a lot of stuff in the press about slave labor, child labor, and whatnot with chocolate. And that is not in a world that I play in. That would be what would be referred to as a commodity chocolate. So beans all over the world land at the market and then get sold there. You don't know where they come from. You don't know how they've been done. No, nothing. All the chocolate I buy is more often from a company called Valrhona, which is spectacular and does a lot back to the communities where they are and where it's produced and grown. I get some stuff from Demore, which is an Italian company, even though the beans come from South America in that group. I have some stuff from Cho, which is a very small company that does mainly Peruvian. And that's it. We do some stuff with Guittard, but we do their plantation only chocolates because it's the only one I know where it comes from. So it's very important that I know where it comes from, but you can also taste it. It's really weird. I mean, I firmly believe that if something is shitty produced or shitty grown, you know, you can taste it in the end.
Yeah.
It will absolutely tell you. It doesn't need to say organic for it to be good. I mean, none of the stuff is certified organic because it's not grown here. You have much better luck getting something out of the country that's treated better.
Well, it's crap in, crap out, right?
Crap in, crap out. Yeah, absolutely.
Take care of your ingredients.
So, but yeah, it's all, you know, it's all flavor driven.
Is there any chocolate that's produced in America?
No.
No?
There's none grown here. The only place
probably not in a good temperate region for
the only place in continental United States that actually can grow chocolate is Hawaii. And for a number of years in the late 90s to early 2000s, There was a company called Vintage, Hawaiian Vintage, and it was a chocolate company. We used to get some stuff from another company, but they stopped sending it, stopped making it. It doesn't grow a, and this is, I could be, it could have changed by this time from a few months ago, but it doesn't grow a tremendously viable or consistent product.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of similar to hops. I mean, certain areas of the country produce hops, and like we can't really grow hops in Texas because it's just not the right area for it.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, but it's south of the equator.
Yeah.
But, you know, Vietnam's doing some brilliant chocolate.
Cool.
And they just started. I mean, it's great. It's great more countries are using the crops that they have and they're learning how to do it. Because it's not just being able to grow it, it's knowing what the hell to do with it after you've picked it and to do it right.
Do each of those regions kind of produce different flavors?
No, it's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
All over
the
place.
You can, you know, people pay a lot of attention to the numbers, you know, so 65% or, you know, people are saying, oh, I want to have 70% or higher, you know, all of that, which is kind of nonsense. But it's a marketing tool. It's a thing for people to gravitate to. You can get the same percentage of chocolate from four different countries, and each one is going to have polar opposite personalities. And it's not just what's grown around it that dictates that. It is the sugars they use, the vanillas that they use. Once again, when we talked about how they fermented it, how they roasted it, all of those things are going to determine its end flavor, how it is treated. And it's not, sometimes it's not to say one is better or worse. It just happens to be the kind of sugar that they have there, you know, can dictate it. Absolutely.
So you mentioned, you mentioned anything. Is there a threshold? So you said, like, just a second ago, you said, you know, a 75% chocolate or an 80% chocolate.
There's 100%.
There's 100%. Okay. Is there a, I mean, is there sort of a point of diminishing returns where it's really more of a marketing thing than anything else? Like, can you, is a 90% chocolate and 100% chocolate, is that 100% chocolate 10% more chocolatey?
Well, it's not necessarily more chocolatey. It actually gets, because the higher it goes, the less sweet it goes.
Right.
Okay. So people don't really know what chocolate unsweetened tastes like. Mm-hmm. So it totally throws them off. There's a guy in Ecuador that is making a 100% bar that has no sugar in it. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is the fucking best 100% thing I've ever had.
Really?
It is ridiculous.
Nice.
And I have no idea.
Huh.
I got no idea how he does it. I mean, I met him at a thing in Peru when we were doing a bunch of stuff. It's crazy good. You know, that it's not more chocolatey because who the heck knows what, nobody knows what it really is, what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. It gets, chocolate's really acidic. That's a big thing that people don't know. It's very, very acidic. So the higher it gets, it can, you know how like things can get you behind the ear?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it gets that thing, that kind of tannin acid.
Yeah.
So a lot of those things neutralize it, really.
Hmm.
So it's not one is better or the other. It's really absolute preference.
Okay, cool.
Some people really like, I mean, there's one bar that I always travel with that, you either absolutely adore or you're like, what have I done to you to make you so angry that you've fed me this piece of chocolate?
Right.
You know, but I love it and it's, but it'll never come off the menu because it's there for a particular kind of customer.
Right.
That I have to have for a particular kind of customer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all preference. I really believe stuff is all preference. Who's to say what's bad? Shit is shit. Great stuff is great.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. There's no getting around that. But the rest of it is really, eat what you like, drink what you like,
sure.
Combine them however you like, because you're the one doing it. That's the most important piece, really, for me.
That's cool. And you probably have a bunch of people coming into your shop that are newbies into chocolate. And like you said, you're like they know what chocolate they want. And you have that gamut. You kind of walk them through and start tasting different kinds of chocolate.
We just let them taste, you know.
Yeah.
That's the whole point, is for them to leave with what they want versus what they think they might want and stuff like that. It's just important for people to eat.
Yeah.
We don't advertise. We spend a lot of money on feeding people.
Yeah.
And it's the smartest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
What was so cool about the first time I walked into your shop and tried the chocolates is just your flavor combinations and putting things that I would have never expected going with chocolate. And that was what was so cool is I wouldn't expect to put like your albatross, putting... chocolate and the blue cheese. I'm like, it's amazing.
It was just a salt, a fat, and an acid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, it's not, there's never a moment where it's meant to be strange mm-hmm. or anything. It's just, it's another way to add a salt, another way to add an acid. A mushroom is to make something less sweet. You know, how do I add a heat, mm-hmm. something that's spicy? Well, sometimes it can be tobacco. You know, there's, you know, people use lemons a lot because they want acid. But the problem when you use something like lemon or an orange is you've added a lemon and an orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That there's no, you haven't accented anything. You've added another flavor. You
right.
haven't added a dimension. You've added lemon flavor. You've added orange flavor. And there's no going back.
Yeah.
So it's how to break through some of that stuff. So mm-hmm. none of it's ever meant to be weird. It's just how I see
it. Yeah.
It just happens
it's
to be how I see
flavor.
Stuff. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's cool.
That tobacco did trip me up the first time I had it, though.
The tobacco is like totally renegade, too.
So there's tobacco in the chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
So what's tobacco do for chocolate?
It's just a spice. You have to go very small because it's like you can't ingest tobacco.
Right.
So I infuse it. So I have cognac. Cognac. So I have the leaves in it. So it's steeping.
Okay.
So it's not ingesting the actual tobacco. So then that goes into one of the garden chocolates. So they all have like some sort of different from the ground thing.
That's cool.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a spice. It's a definitive spice, not like any other.
Yeah. That's interesting.
No, it's got a kick.
That's cool, dude.
It's real good.
It's really weird, but awesome sauce, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
You're giving us ideas for beer.
Oh, dude.
I'm gonna have the feds up my butt so quick if I put tobacco in.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do that.
No.
New.
Hey, they're putting cannabis oil in beer.
All kinds of weed beer. Come on.
Sure.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Coke beer.
Let's do this.
Like, what could go wrong?
On your next trip to Peru, you know, just
scoop us up a little of the good stuff.
Smuggle a little,
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, something man. We need a pilot badge. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. See, that stuff does to kids. All right.
Everyone's working round the clock around here, man.
Man,
I don't get it. Okay, hey, we're going to be right back, and we're gonna talk about new releases. All right, hey, everybody. We are going to talk about new releases for a second. We have two, but two very, very big and very important releases that will be coming out in February. On the 17th, we will have Bourbon Barrel Aged... Yeah, you heard that right.
Oh, yeah.
Bourbon Barrel Aged Raspberry Temptress.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be extremely limited. It will be draft only, and it's awesome. It's everything that you love about BBT with raspberries.
With more to
mm-hmm.
love.
So it's fantastic. Go out and find it. We will do our best to keep you guys informed on Facebook where there might be tappings, so stay tuned to social media. And the other big release that we have coming out, drumroll please.
Post-production.
We have Goatman. The return of Goatman. The mighty return of the Goatman.
Goatman.
So you know when we released our legendary releases and we're like, hey, you know what? These are one and done. We're only going to brew this one time and never see the light of day. Well,
they went wide.
So that that didn't happen.
We had enough people asking for it to return.
So let me tell you about Goatman. Goatman is a black IPA, but we took the A out and put an L in. So it's an Imperial India Black Lager.
It's a hybrid beer.
It is a hybrid beer.
It's a perfect hybrid of a German Schwarz beer and
Imperial
a Cascadian
Schwarz beer.
Black IPA.
Yeah.
It's an Imperial. Yeah.
Yeah, right around 9%. It's like Temptress's bastard child.
It's 9.3. So get ready.
Get ready. Strap your hoofs on and get yourself a Goatman.
The Goatman cometh.
Well, let's start eating some chocolate and drinking some beer.
All right.
Let's do this. All right. So we're starting out with Lakewood Lager.
Okay.
One of our best-selling beers and one of the easiest drinking beers that we make for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a lot of caramel malt in it. So Vienna malt, Munich malt, Pilsner malt as well. All German hops. Hallertau Mittelfrüh is the hop of choice, and Hallertau Magnum as well.
So it's very much a European amber lager. So what are we gonna eat with it?
You're gonna eat what's called Fungus Among Us.
Sweet.
Okay, so it is what we would call a butter toffee. Okay, so a soft butter toffee. When we first started making toffees, we had to actually clarify that. This is one of the joys of being a retailer, is that it said butter toffee, but people kept thinking they were going to get like Werther's, you know, that hard stuff. So it's a soft butter toffee made with roasted pumpkin seeds and mushroom powder. This one right here is sweet, definitively, but it's also really kind of musty. Mm-hmm. Okay, the mushroom is not there to say, oh my God, I'm a mushroom. Mm-hmm. It really just keeps it from being a little sweet. My butter toffees will always roll in a savory world. European lagers, even though they're super hoppy, they also have like this kind of weird bitter, but a positive bitter.
Sure.
So I was thinking the caramel on that would be nice and the earthiness of it would be nice. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things about beer with chocolate in particular is bubbles.
Yep.
Fermentation, it's huge. It's fat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everything I have here with me is all fat.
Yeah.
Yay.
And those bubbles kind of scrub the palate clean.
They scrub the palate, but they also bring the flavor back through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it kind of gravitates. It'll come back through and do it. But I think it would be, how is it?
It's awesome. I can tell you right now that this is one of those that when my wife goes into the chocolate shop, she always brings me back this because it's so good.
It'll never come off the menu.
It's so good.
I definitely get mushrooms right on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Just smelling it. I'm just like, okay, yeah.
But it's not.
There's some mushrooms.
But it's not like you know, extreme foods or world's most weird foods.
It doesn't fall there.
Yeah. You know, and it's so strange when people will say, "Oh, you know, with the wacky combinations." I'm like, just eat it. It's not that weird.
And it complements it really nicely too.
Yeah, it's not that strange.
It's not like competing or overpowering or anything.
It doesn't suck.
No, it does not.
It does
suck.
Not.
We have a T-shirt that says that we are super classy.
I do like that combination, and you know, I think with something really sweet like that, you do need something clean and something that's got a little bitterness to clean your palate up, or else it gets you too cloying.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's got a nice chocolate. It's got a nice chocolate nose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we use chocolate malt. So we're drinking Temptress now.
Yeah. So the next one is Temptress.
So this probably has the most in common with chocolate.
That's really good.
It does have a very chocolatey nose to it. So we use Belgian chocolate malt. Doesn't mean there's chocolate in the malt. Just means it's roasted to a point where you have chocolate flavors coming out of the
malt. Can I ask you a question on that?
Absolutely.
There's a thing that I've been reading about that they call black cocoa replacer. And it is harshly dark roasted barley.
Sure.
I mean, black roasted.
Yep.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay.
So there's also a malt in here called Carafa.
Pumpernickel bread. That's the reason why I was, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So I think, you know, barley can be used in all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you have, you know, you can, there's barley tea out there.
Barley's wonderful.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, sweet and yummy and bready. And
we use it as a connector for anything with a really sharp booze.
Okay. What do you mean by a connector?
Let's say you have something with Jameson, or you have
I'm
interested. Or you have something with Lefroy.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now
even
we're talking.
Better.
Okay. So both of those are their personalities are very bold.
Yeah.
Okay. Chocolate's very bold personality. Mm-hmm. When you drop those both in together, there's no connector. You're just like harsh and chocolate.
Yep.
There's no harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make a smooth transition in your mouth. You're just at booze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just no harmony.
Kind of like you took a bite of chocolate and took a swig of liquor and that's it.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't.
Nothing in the middle.
Yeah. Nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's the bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
So the other thing that Temptress has, so it's got a lot of that chocolatey flavor. It's got some caramelly flavors from the caramel roasted malts. And it has, it's got lactose in it. So, you know, this is the most akin to a dessert
mm-hmm.
that that we make.
This beer also has a touch of vanilla as well.
It does. It has bourbon Madagascar vanilla.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. From the Isle of Bourbon, not the drink bourbon.
That's great. That's great. That's my second beer. Wait till my fifth. Get ready.
It's like a spectator sport.
you're just sitting back.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Just throwing chocolate at us.
All right. What are we pairing with?
Okay. So, we're starting out with two of this is the second of our original ones. This one's called Albatross.
Yes.
Good. But the story of Albatross is really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had foot surgery a few years ago. Well, actually, several years ago at this point. And so several people ended up taking care of me. So I'm in a two-story building, all stairs. So one person flew in from New Orleans, took care of me. And then the next person came and literally had to carry me to another place around the corner from my house. I was on so many drugs. We did a Monty Python marathon. And there is an episode where they're selling Albatross by the Sea instead of Cockles by the Sea. And this is a tribute to my friend that took care of me, because when I just would send him a text saying Albatross, meaning I need something.
Yeah.
So this is that it became just no other name. There's the name makes absolutely no sense to the chocolate other than I wanted to call it Albatross.
It's an inside joke. Yeah.
It's an inside joke. There's kind of inside jokes on all of them.
Yeah.
So
that's the best way. Yeah.
So, and it's made with a blue cheese powder. And we spoke a little bit, and on these notes, it said it pairs well with blue cheese.
Absolutely, yeah. It does.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, hell, I'll do that one.
That's easy.
But, and I saw that it was a milk stout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even though it does have the blue cheese, people don't realize blue cheese also has its own natural acid. Mm-hmm. And that thing from the ash, So this is actually Rogue Creamery blue cheese.
Oh, nice.
So it's called a fudge, but my fudges are a lot more like a dense truffle. People think of fudges as those grainy things, you know?
Dude, that pairing
that's like biting in a stick of butter.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? Mm. That good.
That is so good.
Nice. You know, when we first did this, I don't know what manager it was, but somebody got it in their mind that I made it to go with wine, which I never did. So it used to just infuriate me when I'd see the description. They'd say, Catherine made it to go with red wine. I was like, well, Catherine's right here, and she didn't do that. In my mind, it was meant to go with beer or hard cider.
Hmm. Hmm. That'd be an interesting combination.
Yeah.
Just because you want some, with the cider, some acidity to break up the sweetness?
But it's gorgeous with beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but all the stuff is because, once again, like when we talked about, it's the fat.
It's kind of why cheese and beer pair so good together,
right?
Too.
Mm-hmm.
It's that fat.
We like all the fats.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why bacon and beer taste so damn good together, too.
Yeah, but bacon tastes great with everything.
Oh, that's true.
I don't get a ton of blue cheese on it. I do get some of the...
No, not really.
I do get some saltiness from it.
Mm-hmm. Natural salt.
I do pick that up.
Yeah, that one, even though they all have salt in it, and pretty much the same amount per recipe ratio, it just resonates more in some. It draws more in some. But then this one capitalizes on the natural salt from the actual cheese itself, too.
I like that. Are there trends that pop up that you kind of roll your eyes at, like salted caramel everything, pumpkin spice everything?
Oh, my God, pumpkin spice.
So we won't be seeing a pumpkin spice chocolate in the...
No, we actually did one called Diwali, and I called it my anti-pumpkin pie spice.
Nice.
It was an Indian, inspired after an Indian holiday.
Oh, cool.
Punkle's still one of our best-selling seasonals.
Oh, but it's sort of the anti-pumpkin beer
because it has no pumpkin.
It's called Punkle?
Punkle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
It's fun beer. So yeah, it's just a Durman.
It's a Durman.
German
Dunkel. Oh boy. We're in our Durd beer today. it's a German Dunkel base, so a dark German lager with pumpkin pie spices. So cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger,
And allspice.
Yeah. Allspice. Oh, I have some really good spice for you to try then.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Mix it up a bit.
I'm game. Okay, so next is Raspberry Temptress. Everything you love about Temptress with raspberries.
Yeah, so we chose this because it is Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's
and
Day.
And this beer is out right now in 4-packs.
Yeah.
And you can pick this up in stores. And this is the first in our seduction series where we enhance the Temptress with different flavors and stuff throughout the year. So we basically add Oregon raspberries, Oregon raspberry puree into the beer. So
nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a big
40 pounds at a time. It's a lot of bags.
Yeah.
It is a lot of bags.
It's a lot of bags. Big raspberry nose and just that nice kind of tart, sweet.
What are we having with it?
Well, actually, this is part of a set. It's called His Package.
Yes, cue the music, Zach.
So we did. Oh, boy. One of the managers, Mark, really wanted something. He goes, I really want to do the chubby nuts and the salami in one package for Valentine's. I said, well, can I call it His Package or can I call it Your Package and just call it Mark's Package? So we called it His Package. So it has a salami and it has the chubby nuts. But this salami is called SOS, so it's Significant Other Salami. Mm-hmm. So it has dehydrated strawberries and pistachios. And normally I am not a fruit and chocolate gal at all.
Mm-hmm. But why?
Well, I just don't like it.
Okay.
I just don't think it's the best way to use it. But these were dehydrated strawberry, not dehydrated, freeze-dried strawberries. So they have this completely different personality. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of different stuff in here. So it's the strawberries, the pistachios, so berry and pistachio are a very classic combination. Mm-hmm. It also has miso in it, miso powder to round it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it kind of mellows it out. It kind of gives a little umami to it. So, and these are salamis, so they look like a salami. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I know we're on the podcast and you can't see this, but I mean, it's laying on a cutting board.
Yeah.
It looks like a very nice piece of salami,
like summer sausage almost. Yeah, it looks like this big old piece of meat.
It didn't. We didn't know what we were gonna do. I mean, I was doing marzipan stuffed dates, and we're getting this brilliant marzipan, and we were stuffing the dates, which were so delicious, but nobody bought them because the whole date thing, just kind of the texture creeps people out. Mm. We were stuffing and we did all the stuff in it. And then I was like, I'm not going to get rid of the flavor. This flavor is fucking delicious. So I threw everything in the mixer one day. It was just a little mixer at the shop. And I was like, it's really good. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. And so, of course, I was completely overcomplicating it. I was going to make, like, little patties. I was like, oh, my God, this will be so great for cycling. It's like a little energy bar. Perfect. You know, and then I'm rolling it. And thank God one of my staff was so much smarter than me at that moment because he said, it looks like salami. And I was like, oh, thank God.
That's it.
That's it. So I rolled it in powdered sugar, wrapped it in butcher paper, sent that to our sticker guy, and then came up with it. So it's been actually, it's in our top 4 or 5 sellers, which is pretty crazy.
That's cool.
You know, because it's people like nuts, coffee, you know, tea. All right, so just try it. I think it's pretty badass.
Cool.
And it's not, you know, it's completely different. It's not, the strawberry's not like super strawberry. See what I mean? It just adds kind of a jammy, tangy thing. It's not like super strawberry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little.
Yeah, it's just a little pop.
A little whiz-bang in there.
Yeah. Any more, and it would be, you would lose the other items in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see like those little flecks in there and stuff. That's the cocoa nibs. So it has cocoa nibs in it too.
So tell me, what's a cocoa nib?
Cocoa nib is the seeds. So after they do the seeds, you break it. It's filled with nibs. It's filled with Z nibs.
Okay. Mm. Like I thought the nib was part of the bean.
It is, but it's like all. The bean is filled with the nibs. The nibs are come.
Gotcha.
You like that? Hmm. They are like this.
Uh-huh. Like that for all our viewers at home.
They are one. How is it with the beer?
It's really good.
I forgot about the beer.
It's, to me, it doesn't compete. You're not putting raspberry on raspberry kind of thing.
No, I was thinking like a tart.
A tang. Yeah. It's a nice berry compliment because you have raspberry in the beer and you have strawberry in this and there's that little bit of
and the pistachio,
tart and
yeah.
The pistachio, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's really good.
I just thought that, and also because it was the milk stout, I thought it would hold up. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because if you did that with, I don't know, anything else, it just would be too bright.
This feels very European to me.
Well, you are European.
I just pictured you with like a beret on now.
Mm-hmm. No, that's French people. I don't know.
No. Don't get them started.
What's
on
the difference, Swim?
Wrong side of the border.
What side of the border?
How about you share a border?
We do share a border.
He's from Belgium.
Ah.
Yeah. So there's only several miles difference between you and a Frenchman.
I don't like the French.
To all of our French listeners out there.
It's a love-hate relationship.
He can't help it.
I can't help it.
Yeah, there's another. Yeah, I have like three more little slices.
Oh, jeez.
Heck
yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, lordy.
Yeah, that's... I think that's one of the better combinations that we've had. I think we should all take a break and contemplate how awesome this is and talk about our events calendar.
All right.
Here's Craig with events. Craig, what's going on, man?
Well, as always, we have our pitcher specials at the tap room Monday through Thursday from 3 to 6. You can come on in and get select drafts for $10 a pitcher. And every Wednesday night, we do Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7 o'clock. It is free to play. Come on in and get your trivia on. You may see Zach there, too.
Yeah.
He's normally there.
He's usually rounding out fourth place.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be there to
come in strong,
take you on one-on-one with Valentine's. Sexy time, right? So we have a couple of cool events going on for Valentine's Day.
Cue the music,
Zach. Valentine's Temptress Beer Dinner is going on at Londoner Rockwall on Valentine's at 6 o'clock. It is $75 a head, and the menu looks awesome. And did I mention that when I said Temptress Beer Dinner, I'm not messing around. It is French Quarter Temptress, Cinnamon Temptress, Mole Temptress, Bourbon Barrel Temptress, and to top it off, our boys at Herman Marshall are bringing their Temptress Single Malt Whiskey as well, so don't miss that.
Made from real Temptress.
Distilled from the Temptress, so that's going on. Or, if you're in our neck of the woods in Garland, head on over to Intrinsic Smokehouse and Brewery, where they are doing a Valentine's Day cake ball and beer pairing. So they are doing a really cool dessert pairing. They have teamed up with Amazeballs, and they are doing a really cool, they're pairing four different cake balls with four of our beers, including French Quarter Temptress, Cinnamon Temptress, Raspberry Temptress, and Bourbon Barrel Temptress. That is only $20, so it is a really good deal, and that's going on pretty much all night, 5 to 10. So hit that up. On Sunday, February 19th, you can see us out at the 3rd Annual North Texas Craft Beer and Chili Challenge out at Luck in Trinity Groves. This is the third year they've been doing it, and it just gets bigger and bigger every year. I think there's over 30-plus breweries.
31, counting us.
Yeah, it's insane.
The field's getting stacked.
And the rules are that every brewery has to make a chili featuring one of their beers. So it's pretty cool. And they'll have that beer, that particular beer, on tap that day. And come on out. It's for a good cause. Proceeds benefit the North Texas Food Bank. $10 gets you 10 samples. They're going to have a raffle. They're going to have all kinds of fun stuff. So definitely hit that up. And last but not least, on Sunday, March 5th, we are doing our first Brews and Bugs, which is a Brewing Good charity crawfish boil. So we do our Brewing Good Sundays every month, and we've been donating proceeds to charities every month. And this is a big, giant event that we're doing, that we're giving a lot of the proceeds. We've teamed up with our friends from Guns N' Hoses Foundation. They're cooking up a bunch of crawfish, having a big old good old-fashioned crawfish boil. And the proceeds of that are going to help our sales rep, Erica Hopperstead. She has been battling cancer for the last few months, and so we are going to be giving those proceeds to her to help her with her fight. So come on out, do a good deed, and eat some mud bugs and some beer.
And a big old mess of gum.
Yeah, and as always, you can check our events calendar on our website at lakewoodbrewing.com, and you can check out all the details on all of this or follow us on Facebook.
Okay, what's next?
Ooh, the Tilly Toil.
Now, I don't have a rinse, unfortunately.
That's all right. Just put a little bit in there and just swing it out. That's fine. Just rinse it with more beer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, Till and Toil, how I love thee.
I want to know about the name.
So, Till and Toil. Till and Toil is our saison, speaking of French people, which is French for season.
It's our take on a
saison. So, the saison or saison or however you want to pronounce it is a quote unquote farmhouse style beer,
primarily brewed in southern Belgium and northern France. Can be a variety of colors. It's basically a kind of a catch-all. It was brewed with whatever they had left over in the fall, cellared all winter and then into spring, and then they would be used to pay either the workers or feed the workers in the spring as they were planting. So it can be a little bit musty. It can be, sometimes it has Brett in it, which gives you that sort of barnyard flavor, for lack of a better word.
Horse blanket.
Horse blanket.
Mm-hmm. Such a good word.
It's the worst. Anyway, I like to think of it more of like a, it's kind of mushroomy. It's earthy.
Okay.
This doesn't have bread in it, but it does have a farmhouse yeast that does give you a lot of complexity. The malt bill on this beer is pretty simple. It's Belgian Pilsner malt, and there's some wheat in it as well.
So the smell on that's insanely awesome.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's fantastic,
wicked. Fruity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wicked.
So it's Mosaic and it's Citra hops. But with that farmhouse yeast, it gives you mango, papaya, pineapple, all these really tropical fruit flavors and aromas. So I call this kind of our brunch beer because it's like mm-hmm. a beer mimosa.
Yeah. The carbonation's a little bit higher on it as well. It kind of has a little bit of a dry, effervescent type of finish.
So wicked.
It's real tasty.
So what kind of
this pairing? One I was excited to see what you
This one actually, this was the first one I picked.
Cool.
When I was pulling stuff. This is called Rosebud. One, it was named after, you know, Rosebud, the sled.
Rosebud. Yeah.
I'm not going to say what it is, but there's also another name Rosebud's used for, and it's with, do you know it? Okay, well, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let you guys Google that because it's super foul.
okay. All right.
Cue the music.
Okay, so it's made with rose petal jam. Okay, so there's a big difference between rose water and rose petal jam. Okay. I almost never use rose water. And then it also has what's called malib or maliba, which is an Indian spicy. It's the pit of a sour cherry. Very earthy, very musty, very good against sweet.
Hmm.
It allows me to have that floral note, but it keeps that floral note a little bit at bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has orange blossom water. So another floral note, but in a non-offensive way. It's got all sorts of personality.
Yeah.
It'll change.
It changes the beer for me.
Yeah. Well, it should. Any good pairing
should. Well, yeah. But it, like...
That one's got to be
it
just
It brings
be
out
the
different
chart.
Flavors completely on that.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like that flowery kind of, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that little burst of flowers on the... I don't normally get, on Till and Toil, I just get fruit, like all that, like you said, papaya and mango and all that. When I take the chocolate and I drink that, I get that little flowery burst.
You get also a little spice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got like a little mysterious zing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's probably that farmhouse yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely just, has a very unique character.
That's pretty awesome.
And like you were saying about the carbonation earlier,
mm-hmm.
it just kind of brings it back up. Kind of scrubs the palate, but then I'm tasting it again.
What I like about doing a beer pairing with something sweet is that, like a beer like Temptress, mm-hmm. by itself, if you just have Temptress, don't eat anything before, just have Temptress, you go, oh, man, that's a sweet beer. But then you have an actual sweet, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have a piece of chocolate that's got a lot of sugar in it. Then you go back to the beer, and comparatively, that beer is now drastically less sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you focus on the other components of that
of the
beer
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, right? So that's the great thing about beer for me. That's the great thing about beer pairing is that the food changes the beer and the beer changes the food. And independently, you know, you can enjoy a beer and you can enjoy a food, but together you're bringing out different components of each other. So and that's really where you want things to complement each other very well.
Right.
So. That's really cool to me.
Honestly, this is the one that's got me most excited because this is probably on the list of beers we've selected. This is Hop Trap's probably my lowest on that. Just I'm less of an IPA guy than other stuff.
Okay.
So it's really interesting to see.
How it might change that opinion? Okay.
I'm more excited about this beer for a different reason because Catherine, as we've been talking, you know, you use a lot of spices in your in your chocolate. And this this beer probably has, you know, this beer besides Punkel.
It's got nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here. Besides Punkel, this beer probably has the most spices in it.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the beer for a second. So Hop Trap is a Belgian IPA. So Hop Trap with 2 P's. Why 2 P's? Because we use a Trappist yeast. Mm-hmm. We use the Westmalle yeast. So Westmalle's a brewery in Belgium, a Trappist brewery in Belgium that's been making beer for quite a long time and has a very unique house yeast and house flavor. So to build on top of that, we use a lot of different caramel malts in this beer. When it came down to putting hops in it, we said, okay, well, let's use some hops that would lean European. Okay, so we used Sterling, we used Styrian Golding in here, another European hop to really give you that earthy and floral hop component. The last bit that we put in here is that we added a little bit of coriander in this beer.
Nice.
Coriander is a traditional Belgian brewing spice used in wit beers. While American IPAs tend to have a lot of citrus coming from the hops, we were pulling that citrus from the coriander, but we wanted it to be a low note, an earthy note of coriander versus a high citrus note. So all that together makes this beer. Long story short.
Long story longer.
Mm. Long story longer. It's a Belgian IPA.
It's weird. The smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think of Cajeta. Like, it's not a butterscotch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a toffee. It's like a, it's that tang of goat's milk. I get that, and I get the coriander is really nice in there, too.
I've never smelled that, so I don't know what that would smell like.
It's really good.
It's very good.
Delicious.
It's delicious. It's a total compliment.
Is it like condensed milk, but yummier?
Oh, it's like an apple and a watermelon.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. It's just like that, but like completely opposite.
I'm so out of my league here.
You just gotta try.
So no,
over the line, Donnie.
It's happy. It's very happy. So, okay. To capitalize on the spice on that one, what we have is what's called Toga Party. So this is one of the few times, one of maybe only two or three, where I have not done a dark chocolate. Okay. This is called a dark blonde, a caramelized white. It can be called a multitude of things, but it's basically a caramelized chocolate. Okay, it's going to be sweet, but a little bit bitter. Okay, and then it's my way of doing a chili and a chocolate. Once again, talking about like making what you want. I needed to do a chili and chocolate because it's a necessary thing. It's something that people expect, but I'm not going to do like an Aztec. You know, because there's plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a blend called Togarashi. Togarashi is a spice blend, Japanese chilies. Depending on who makes it, the blends can be slightly different. But the predominant factors will be the chili, sesame seed, with or without citrus. This one has orange, just a little bit. You don't really taste it. And then seaweed. And seaweed is the salt.
Hmm.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. So it's kind of a creeper. So you'll be like, oh, there's no spice. And I'll be like, just wait for it.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think this is my favorite pairing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was pretty excited about this one.
This is solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really good. I mean, you know, we always tell people with IPAs, you're kind of spicier dishes, your Thai and Asian kind of dishes and things. Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
It's not subtle on the spice.
Yeah.
No, it creeps up
on you, but it lets you know it's there.
But it kind of goes away. It just kind of swings in and out. But when I did that one with the dark chocolate, it was like right behind your ears, you know, back of your throat. It was just acid.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work.
Yeah.
But I was hell-bent on using that spice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's so good.
This completely remakes the Hop Trap for me.
Like
we did the this is how it worked for the cheese. Mm-hmm. I forget what we had, but it was something that had a little bite with it, and it completely made it. So I just pair this. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of the chilies and how they pair and everything, we'll go back a couple years when you helped us with our mole temptress when we did
our
mole.
That's true.
So when we were doing that, we incorporate ancho
guajillo, pasilla, and chipotle chilies in that. Mm-hmm. And we came to you and asked, what are we doing on our chocolate? And so you recommended Valrhona mm-hmm. at the time. So, and if I'm correct, I think we're still to this day using that chocolate.
Yep.
And
it's badass.
And it is awesome, man.
They have 100% is where you want to go next.
Yeah.
Instead of using, they did used to not have it in pistoles.
Uh-huh.
They have 100%, which is really what you want to try. It's what I suggest when people are bringing. I did that big project with RAR for their anniversary, and I did a blend. So I ground a blend between the nibs and the 100%, which is the nibs in a mass. But what's nice about it is it's a slow opener, but it also doesn't have any sugar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's really great for you.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's the 100% with no sugar, no soy, no nothing. So you're going to get that flavor. It's going to slowly dissolve, you know, in the process of, but you're not doing anything to activate anything, which would be pretty interesting to play with.
Sweet.
And they've got some really gorgeous 100% coming from Peru that's dreamy.
Nice.
All right.
Dreamy. Well,
dude. Okay, so tell us where we can find your chocolates.
Yes.
Plugs.
Plug yourself.
DudeSweetChocolate.com, full website. We have a store in Bishop Arts in Oak Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
We have a store on Lower Greenville. We have one on the West 7th Street on Crockett Street in Fort Worth. And we have one on 15th Street in Old Plano as well.
Very cool.
Then Whole Foods and some other places. So we sell to anyone who buys.
That's a really good strategy.
It is. It's everything.
It's really strategic.
I know. Yeah. We're super smart that way.
You want to buy my stuff? I'll sell it to you.
I'll sell it to you all day long.
That's our philosophy.
Yeah. Go buy this chocolate and make your own pairing.
There you go. That's the best.
This is awesome.
You should do what you want, not what somebody tells you to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go to the store. Get a bunch of stuff that you're afraid of. Get a bunch of beer you've never had.
Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? The worst that's going to happen is you're going to have some awesome chocolate and some beer.
Mm-hmm. Feel pretty good afterwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Low risk, high reward.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chef Catherine Clapner of Dude Sweet Chocolate, thank you so much for joining us
on
the podcast today. And congratulations on your success. You guys have been...
It's a village.
Killing it.
Popping up, man.
Continue killing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Doing your thing. Absolutely. And have fun on your adventures and bring back what you find and put it in your chocolate so we can try it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, that about wraps it up, guys. Thank you for listening to Taproom Talks. If you like us, tell a friend. We're on iTunes and Google Play, or find us on our RSS link at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/taproomtalks. For your podcatcher of choice.
Okay, so maybe you don't know this. You don't know this, but there are other ways to get podcasts besides iTunes.
You can catch pods.
There's any number of.
Is this like Pong?
Yeah, it's Pong.
Hey, gotta catch them all, right?
I don't think Zach knows what Pong is. Oh, you're making my head hurt so much. Yeah, if you use one of the other software, we've got RSS links on our bit.ly.
I don't judge.
Okay. Just read the copy, Wim.
Or we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Untapped, and YouTube. We're on the interweb. Just Google it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Find us on the interweb, or find us in person at the Tap Room. Open 7 days a week, starting at 3:00 weekdays and at noon on Saturday and Sundays. Come out and have a beer with us. See where your beer's made. It's a good time. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Let's get it on. Baby. Let's get it on. Let's love, baby. Let's get it on.